The following takes place between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m.
At FBI HQ, Janice is on the phone.
Renee, security saw Bauer and Almeida getting into a dark-colored panel van.
What direction were they heading?
West.
What's happening with DOT cameras?
I've been trying. Traffic images aren't loading.
What do you mean, not loading?
Just what I said. The server's not responding. The hacker must be jamming the transmission.
How can they do that?
Well, if I knew, I'd be able to get around it.
Continue checking ancillary security cams, ATMs, parking garages. There has to be something.
Well, keep canvassing the area. Someone else may have seen the vehicle.
That's what we're doing.
Fine. Let me know.
No luck on municipal cameras. Looks like they have someone running interference for them.
Damn it. Bauer must have worked out this escape with Almeida's people.
I'm so sorry, Larry. That son of a bitch played me, had me believing the Bureau was compromised. Someone on the inside working against us. I realize now it was him all along.
Don't put this on yourself. You played us both.
No, I should have seen it.
This is fine. Take it downstairs, please.
Bauer's facing a federal indictment, years in prison. And Almeida must have offered him a way out.
Agent Ross, the White House is on line one.
Yeah, I'll take it in the conference room. Thanks, Erica.
I'm gonna make this right, Larry. Whatever it takes, I will find Bauer and Almeida.
I'll throw in a CIP device, and maybe he'll be off the hook.
Janice, what's the status of that shooter?
He hasn't regained consciousness yet, but a print match is just coming up now. His name is Alan Tanner. He was former Special Forces, discharged after Desert Storm.
Discharged why?
Medical reasons. He made claims to having Gulf War Syndrome, tried to sue the government. Case was dismissed.
I want to be informed the minute he's awake.
Mm-hmm.
Agent Moss, this is Ethan Kanan. I'm here with the president. What are you and your folks doing about this situation?
We put out an all-agency alert.
Everyone understands apprehending Almeida is our top priority.
How did he escape?
He had the help of a former CTU agent that we mistakenly trusted.
A man by the name of Jack Bauer.
Bauer? I thought he was in the middle of a Senate investigative hearing.
Yes, sir, that is correct. We issued a subpoena a few hours ago excusing him from the hearings in order to enlist his help in apprehending Almeida.
Now you're saying that these two men are allied?
It would appear so.
My God. You and your people have royally screwed up, Agent Moss. Without Almeida, we have no way of finding DeBuck. And no chance of recovering the CIP device.
Ethan, let's stay on point. Agent Moss, are you working any other leads?
Yes, Madam President. A confederate of Almeida's who was wounded earlier today. He's just out of surgery. We're waiting for him to regain consciousness.
Do we have a time frame from the hospital and when that might happen?
No, ma'am. Not really.
Let me be clear, Agent Moss. Recapturing Almeida and Bauer isn't just your top priority, it's your only priority.
Yes, ma'am.
Keep us posted, Agent. Bottom line, the Bureau is not going to be the answer to our prayers here.
I'm afraid not. How much time does that leave us?
Less than 2 hours. DeBacco's demand is that our forces retreat behind the 23rd Meridian within 24 hours. Now, in order to meet that timetable, the fleet and carrier air wing must start withdrawing by 1 o'clock at the latest.
Which would effectively end our mission in Africa and condemn another 100,000 Sangalans to a certain and brutal death.
On the other hand, if you authorize the invasion, DeBacco will undoubtedly engage the CIP device.
How far has the FAA gotten with grounding aircraft?
Still over 1,000 planes in the air across the country waiting for clearance to land. DeBuck could bring down any one of them at any moment. Or use the device for something far worse.
I ran for office on the principle of non-negotiation with terrorists. How can I abandon that now, the very first time I'm tested? And if I do so, won't I be telling DeBacco and the rest of the world that blackmailing America works?
Madam President, those are questions for the future. We have a decision to make now.
President Taylor gives Kanan an agonized look. 11:06, Bill Buchanan leads Jack and Tony up a marble-walled staircase.
What do you call this place?
We like to think of it as CTU. What's left of it, anyway?
Jack looks around at the luxurious but chaotic space. Chloe appears.
Jack.
Chloe.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
I'm glad you're with us.
I'm not with anyone until someone starts answering some questions. Might as well start with you. Why the hell are you not dead?
I was dead, Jack.
for almost 10 minutes. Or so I was told.
By who?
By him.
His name's David Emerson. I don't know who he paid off at CTU, but it was his people who injected my body with a hypothermic compound and was able to revive me.
Who is he and what does he want?
Independent contractor. Enlists ex-military and intelligence operatives, jobs them out to clients. Apparently, I fit the profile.
What profile?
Former employees with grievances against the federal government. Emerson had been keeping tabs on me ever since I left CTU. After Michelle was killed, he figured I'd make a good recruit.
And everyone else thinking you're dead? So much the better.
Yeah.
And since then, you've been working undercover to expose his operation?
Tony, Bill, and Chloe exchanged nervous glances.
No, Jack. What? I was really working for him. I was angry. I hated the federal government for what it took from me. I ran Emerson's crew for more than 3 years. And I did some pretty bad things.
Jack, looking harsh, turns towards Bill.
What made you turn against them?
The CIP device. Emerson had my crew stealing components to breach the firewall. I knew what that meant. Innocent Americans would die, and I didn't sign up for that.
Damn it, Tony, why didn't you call the authorities?
He couldn't, Jack.
Why not?
He found out Emerson's client was Dubaku.
That's who you believe has agents inside the government.
The Juma regime controls Sengala's vast diamond wealth. Dubaku hasn't been shy about throwing it around.
How widespread is the corruption?
Pervasive. That's why Tony came to me. He didn't know how far or high up this thing went.
Dubaku's the key to this thing, Jack. If we're gonna uncover the conspiracy, we have to get to him before he leaves the U.S. That's why I have to get back under as soon as possible. There's a new job in the pipeline for me and my crew. I don't have all the details, but I do know that it'll get me in the same room with Dubaku himself.
Challenge is going to be reinstalling Tony with Emerson. We have to assume Emerson knew Tony was in FBI custody and somehow managed to escape.
Emerson's gonna think Tony made a deal with the U.S. attorney.
That's right.
Jack pauses. Chloe looks down bashfully.
I can help you with this.
Yes, you can.
Outside of the three of you, who else is involved in this operation?
It's just us. This is it.
Please at least tell me that you've got some proof that this conspiracy exists.
Yes, we do, but only at the lowest level. At this point, we've just begun to scratch the surface.
Jack looks at Tony and then contemplatively down.
Okay. I'll work with you. But only because right now you are the only people that I trust. You give me one reason to question that, and I swear I will turn you in. You understand?
All right, Chloe. Set up the call with Emerson.
I found two freelancers who might work. Ex-Rangers.
Trust them?
Yeah, I've worked with them before. They're close. Livvak knows them too.
Okay.
They may want to know more about the job before they sign up.
The only thing they need to know is what it pays.
All right.
Yeah?
It's me.
Tony. Where are you?
I'm at a parking garage getting a car. I got away from the FBI.
Yeah, I heard. I also heard it was Jack Bauer who broke you out.
That's right.
That doesn't make any sense, Tony. Bauer was working for them. He helped capture you.
It's only because he didn't have a choice. He's on board now.
What do you mean on board?
You heard about the Senate hearings this morning? They're gonna file criminal charges against him. I told Bauer that if he helped us out with the mission, we can get him out of the country. Look, David, if it weren't for Jack, I'd still be in custody. We can use him. I'm telling you.
I don't know, Tony. Morgan's hiring new men now.
Morgan's a thug. He can't run point on something this important. Let me do it like we planned. Bauer can take Tanner's place and we're good to go.
All right, bring Bauer. We're at 2211 Chesterfield.
It's right off Nolan.
Got it.
You buy it?
We'll see.
11:12. 11:16. Tony drives with Jack. At the White House, Henry Taylor sits in an office writing a note. He looks up to where his wife stands in the next room. Turning at the knock, he then crosses to the door to the next room and pulls it quietly to. He then goes to the other door. Agent Geddes waits outside.
Mr. Taylor, I understand you're looking for me.
Yes, Agent Gedge. I have to go out and I'm going to need some transportation.
Certainly. Where will we be going?
I'll direct you on the way.
Need a destination for the manifest, sir.
As before, I'd like you to keep this off the manifest. And no driver this time, just you and me.
Thought we were through with all the subterfuge, Mr. Taylor.
Please, just do as I ask.
Sorry, sir. Not without an explanation.
Henry glances towards the other door.
It's Samantha Roth. She says she has new information regarding my son's death.
Mr. Taylor.
I thought I was done with this too, believe me. I didn't initiate this. She called me. Brian, I know you felt obligated to report my prior activities, and rightly so. But I would still like to think that I can count on your loyalty when I ask for it.
I could lose my job, sir.
This will be the last time. I promise.
Henry?
Please.
I'll call you as soon as I secure a vehicle.
Thank you.
Who was that?
Staff. Nothing.
Here, can you help me with this?
Sure.
It was a gift from my father, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
The day I won back his seat in the Senate. Prime Minister Motobo has asked to see me. He's going to want to know why I haven't authorized the invasion yet.
What are you going to tell him?
I don't know.
The American people elected you because they trust your judgment, Allison. And they're going to trust you to make the right call on this, too.
I don't know what the right call is.
The right call is whatever you decide it is.
How many units in the field?
17. All available agents are deployed.
Wide in the grid. We have to assume Bauer and Almeida have gotten outside of our perimeter by now.
On it.
11:19.
Sean Hillinger.
Sean, it's me.
Christina.
Where are you?
I'm calling from the plane.
You haven't landed yet?
No. The pilot says we're in a holding pattern, but we just keep circling and circling. And I can see other planes out the window, too. 8 or 9 at least.
Christina, sweetheart, relax.
But the woman sitting next to me says she heard something about a near miss and a problem with the air traffic control system.
Sean, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, it's true. The FAA has grounded some planes, but it's
only a precaution.
Really?
Yeah, it was an isolated incident. You're gonna be fine.
Okay. I got worried there for a minute. You know how I am.
I do. Now listen, I want you to call me as soon as you land.
I will.
I love you.
I love you too.
A blonde woman crosses to Sean.
Is that your wife? Janice told me your plane's still in the air. You okay?
Okay, there's a maniac out there with the capability of bringing down planes at will, so no. Erica, I'm not okay. Her flight is number 18 in the queue, so it'll be another 2 hours at least before hers gets clearance.
I'm sorry. Is there anything I can do?
No. No. There's nothing anybody can do. That's the problem.
Yeah, she's right here. I'll let her know. Thank you. Bye-bye. Renee! I just got off the phone with the hospital. Tanner's regained consciousness.
Is he well enough to talk?
He's well enough to ask the doctor to make a phone call for him.
Who did he call?
Gage Whitney Pace, which is a law firm, I think.
Second largest in D.C. Go grab your laptop, Janice. You're coming with me.
I am? Why?
Because we have to get to Tanner before his lawyers do. Because if I can get Almeida's location out of him, I want you on site to vet the intelligence to our field teams. Go.
Okay.
11:21. Tony and Jack drive in a gray saloon. Jack turns to Tony.
Tell me about it.
Emerson. He's British, former SAS, urban warfare, sniping, close quarter combat, saw action in Beirut and Mogadishu.
So he's good?
Extremely. But he's not some whack job or ideologue. He's about two things, money and personal loyalty.
Sounds like you still admire him.
Listen, Jack, he treated me like a brother when I thought I had nobody else.
Is this gonna be a problem?
No. I know he's on the wrong side of this. I'll do what has to be done.
Jack considers this. The car pulls up in a residential street. Jack gets out. Tony gets out, and as he crosses the road, speaks discreetly into a concealed mic to Bill.
We're here.
They arrive at a front step. Tony rings the bell.
Where's Emerson?
Inside. Come in.
Tony heads inside, followed by Jack. Morgan loiters threateningly in the hallway. Emerson stands in the lounge.
David. Good to see you.
Take Mr. Bauer downstairs. I need to talk to Tony.
Tony looks around as Jack is escorted away by Morgan and Litvak. Tony turns back towards Emerson.
What's going on?
Bringing in Bauer is not worth the risk.
What are you talking about?
11:23. Jack is led into a dingy cellar.
Have a seat. Mr. Emerson will be right with you.
Jack sits, looking warily at his two guards.
I'd still be in FBI custody if it wasn't for him.
Tony, you already made your case.
We can use him.
I considered it, but I'm going a different way.
I owe him, David.
You understand that?
Yeah, I appreciate your sense of loyalty. I always have. But this is business, Tony. You can't have an unknown factor like Jack Bauer coming in and messing things up.
Emerson loads a pistol.
So what, you're gonna kill him?
Emerson eyes Tony shrewdly.
No, you are.
They're gonna kill him.
He'll get out of it.
What if he can't?
Then Jack's death solidifies Tony's position in the crew. Tony was in FBI custody. If he'd gone back in there by himself, suspicion would have rested on him alone.
So by deflecting it onto Jack...
We keep Tony's cover viable.
You knew this might happen the whole time.
Yes. So did Jack.
Jack sits, shifting slightly in his chair. Suddenly he grabs Litvak and floors him with a headbutt. Morgan pulls his gun. Jack, however, manages to get his legs from under him and hits him on the head with a piece of wood. Getting Morgan's gun, he grabs him in a headlock. Emerson enters.
Put your weapon down! Put your weapon down or I will kill him! I came here to do a job, not be double-crossed by you. You're already short-handed, you need good men. Not like these two traffic cops. Look what I've done to them. I am here because I've got nowhere else to go. Tony said if I helped you, you could get me out of the country. Look, if you don't believe me, pull the trigger.
Emerson thinks, then lowers his pistol.
What are you, crazy? Kill him!
No.
Kill him, or I'm out of here.
Fine.
Emerson crosses to Jack, who raises his gun. Emerson shoots Morgan. Jack looks on blankly as Emerson finishes off Morgan. He steps out and surrenders Morgan's gun to Emerson. Emerson looks at him.
Keep it.
Jack, his face covered in a sheen of sweat, wordlessly pockets the gun. 11:26, end of part 4. 5. 11:30. Sean speaks on the phone.
Right, I need flight 112 reassigned for immediate landing.
So you're requesting a priority landing for flight 112
out of Las Vegas?
It's not a request. I'm forwarding an urgent protocol from the White House.
And your name was?
Larry Moss, special agent in charge. This is a matter of national security.
Agent Moss,
may I have your level 5 access number?
6223510.
Thank you, sir. Flight 112 is moved to the head of the queue and should be on the ground shortly.
Thank you.
President Taylor, this is Colonel Ike Dubaku. As you have no doubt confirmed, the near collision at JFK International was no accident. We have the CIP device. We have the capability to kill tens of thousands of Americans. And we are prepared to do so.
I wanted you to hear it for yourself, Prime Minister, so that you would understand my dilemma.
I see. You are recalling the invasion force.
Now, that determination has yet to be made.
And this device over which Dubaku has control, it poses a significant risk to your people?
Yes. It's a technology that has the potential for mass civilian casualties, and it puts the infrastructure of my country in grave jeopardy.
What of Sangala?
Believe me, no one is more aware of what's at stake than I.
So you've been informed of the situation in Kasanga province?
Juma's troops are advancing on a refugee camp. Over 2,000 lives are threatened.
Mostly women and children. There's also the matter of those soldiers who have, on the promise of American support, deserted the regime and joined my freedom fighters on the ground. Please provide us the weapons we need in order to defend ourselves.
You've been patient with us before, Mr. Motobo. We can only ask that you be patient again. Now, please, if you'll excuse me.
Madam President, I implore you, do not abandon my country.
Mr. Motobo, I will do everything that I can.
I count on you.
Motobo shakes hands with Taylor, and then with Kanan, and leaves the Oval Office. 11:33. The President turns towards Ethan Kanan as the door closes.
You didn't think that I would want to know about the refugees in Kasanga?
Madam President, you have enough to think about without being burdened with details.
Especially details that might push me toward proceeding with the invasion.
Ma'am, you have to start focusing on alternatives to the invasion.
Give me a good alternative and I'll consider it.
I'm not saying it's a good alternative, but it's the only one. Comply with Dubaku's demands. Stand down the task force.
That's your recommendation. Back down.
It is.
Damn it, Ethan, you heard Motobo. He has fighters on the ground counting on us. Do you want me to be responsible for another Bay of Pigs?
Kennedy survived the Bay of Pigs, and you'll survive this. A superpower has to act first and foremost in its own best interests.
Always?
Always. No apologies.
What about allowing a third party to dictate its foreign policy? Does a superpower do that?
Yes. If there's no other option. And right now, there's not.
What have we heard from the FBI about the search for Almeida and Bauer?
Nothing, ma'am.
Check with them anyway.
Kanan looks slightly shifty. Jack sits in the cellar. Emerson extends his hand.
No hard feelings, Jack. Forget it.
You have to be careful in our profession, sure you understand.
Yeah. We all know the drill. Disagreements are fine, but when a decision's made, fall in or you're gone.
I've heard a lot of guys say that. Good to know you mean it.
11:35. Jack bins his old clothes.
Before you were subpoenaed, you traveled the world, place to place,
more than a year.
Why? What were you looking for?
Doesn't really matter. Whatever it was, I didn't find it.
You must have known what was waiting. Why'd you come back?
Want to know what it was like to walk into a propeller?
It's funny.
But no, really. Why?
This is my home.
That doesn't explain why you turned yourself into the Justice Department.
Tony said you were in Beirut, Mogadishu.
And Afghanistan. Two tours. Went back a third time as a private contractor.
Be polite, professional. And have a plan to kill everyone you meet, right?
Pretty much.
That's the question, isn't it? Where do the rules of engagement end and the crimes begin? You want to know why I came back? That's why.
Not sure I follow.
Just got tired of talking to myself. See, I actually believe everything I did was right. So I wanted to start a dialogue. Come clean, set the record straight.
First mistake.
So I found out.
No one who hasn't been to the edge and looked over can ever understand.
Yeah.
It's good to have you on board, Jack.
Yeah.
Okay, let me check.
Tony crosses over from a bench where he seems to have been working alongside Litvak. He attaches a small electronic device to Jack's chair.
What was that about?
He's just trying to get a handle on me.
Watch yourself around him, Jack.
Uh-huh.
And do not underestimate him.
I won't.
Okay, I got it.
Emerson, looking at a computer screen of schematics, finishes his call.
All right, listen up. Just got the call. We're a go.
For what? We don't even know what the hell the job is.
Picking up a package, delivering it to our client. Here's the location.
A residence at 167 Foxhall Road.
It belongs to the State Department. Memorize the layout. We don't know the exact spot of the pickup yet, but probably the master suite.
Package is a person.
Yeah, it is. Former Prime Minister Mutombo Sengala. Simon is to grab him, deliver him to Colonel Lubaku. Colonel wants to ask him some questions, and as you can imagine, the Colonel can be quite persuasive.
Now, Mutombo has tight security, so finish arming up, be prepared to engage. We're rolling 2 minutes.
They're gonna kidnap Mutombo. We have to alert somebody and stop this.
No, we do nothing.
But you heard them. They're gonna torture him and probably kill him.
Unfortunately, yes.
Mutombo single-handedly led the fight against genocide in his country. He doesn't deserve this.
I understand that, Chloe. But if we don't go along with the grab, Jack and Tony will not find Colonel Dubaku, and we will not get to the bottom of his conspiracy. Agreed?
Agreed.
11:38. 11:43. 11:43. A black car cruises along a tree-lined road by a stretch of water. At the wheel is Agent Geddes. Henry Taylor gets out of the rear seat. Geddes gets out.
I don't want you to wait for me.
Sir?
Just drive away. I'll call when I need you.
You know I can't do that, Mr. Taylor.
We're already off the manifest, Brian. She won't talk to me unless I'm alone.
All right, I'll take up a position on the bridge. She'll never know I'm there.
All right.
Henry crosses the road. Geddes gets back into the car and drives smartly away. Taylor walks beneath the shadow of the famous Washington Obelisk and through trees down to the waterside. 11:44. As he stops, Samantha appears, walking at speed towards him.
Mr. Taylor.
Sam.
I can't stay long.
What she told me on the phone. Is it true?
Yes. They killed Roger and made it look like a suicide.
Who did this?
The same people who provided false documents to the SEC to show he'd been trading on inside information.
Who are they?
I don't know who they are. They just said that they would kill me if I said anything.
Easy, easy, Sam. Easy.
I loved him.
I know you did, Sam. But right now, I really need to know what happened.
Roger was tasked with auditing the brokers in his department. That's how it started.
When was this?
January. Early January. The compliance officer at his firm asked him to flag any undisclosed ownerships and securities positions.
I don't understand.
Basically kickbacks. But what he found was something else. Two of his portfolio managers had taken on a new client. The Bahamas branch of Switzerland's oldest bank, Bank Lausanne International.
What was wrong with that?
Bank Lausanne's records revealed that it was actively trading with firms doing business in Sangala.
Sangala?
It jumped out at Roger, too, for obvious reasons. And digging deeper, he uncovered other blind accounts that were copying the bank's trades.
Which accounts?
Accounts that were traced to a senior member of your wife's administration.
Who?
I don't know. But whoever it was had a vested interest in the proposed military action.
Somebody who was betting against her? We didn't think she'd be able to pull it off politically?
Betting heavily in 10,000 share blocks. Roger was a day or two away from presenting her with the evidence.
She hands him a USB stick.
It's all here. Account numbers, trading records, everything that he knew. I'm sorry that I can't help you out more.
Tabitha.
I've given you all I can. Do what you have to do, but leave me out of it. Please.
Thank you.
As she walks away, she and Taylor appear as if being stalked through a rifle sight. Taylor sits down, looking at the USB stick. Agent Geddes lowers his binoculars and looks sinisterly thoughtful. 11:46, at the hospital.
Tanner in there?
Yes, his condition is still listed as critical.
Are his lawyers here yet?
No, but they will be any minute.
Okay, get down to the lobby and keep an eye out for them. Call me as soon as they enter the hospital.
Got it.
Renee, with Janice in tow, enters a private hospital room in which Tanner lies in bed, tubes attached to his throat.
Hello, Mr. Tanner. I'm Agent Walker. This is Agent Gold. We're with the FBI. I think you remember me. I know you're in pain, so I'll make this brief. Tell me where Tony Almeida is.
He opens his eyes.
Does Almeida have another base of operations? Is that where the CIP device is?
My lawyers.
Cannot help you, Mr. Tanner. You're going to spend the rest of your life in prison if you don't cooperate. But if you do, I give you my word, I will personally vouch for you. Helping me find the device can go a long way towards reducing your sentence. I'm sorry, is something funny? Who is they? Colonel Dubaku, is that who Tony Almeida takes his orders from? Do you work for him too?
Go away.
Open your eyes, Mr. Tanner. I said open your eyes. Look at me. Is Dubaku here in this country? Does he have the device? Renee. Renee. Renee, please. Renee.
Janice takes Renee to one side.
I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing? Walker.
Tanner's lawyers just arrived.
All right, thanks.
Renee and Janice step back outside the hospital room.
His legal team is here. I need you to stall them.
Me? How am I supposed to do that?
I don't care. Make something up. Just keep them out of this room as long as you can.
I'm not comfortable with this.
Comfortable with what?
We are breaking about 50 federal guidelines just by being here.
Listen to me, Janice. This man is our only lead.
That man asked for legal counsel. I heard him.
Thousands of lives are at stake here. We either bend the rules a little bit right now or we lose this chance forever.
I'm sorry. I can't.
Look, Tony Almeida and Jack Bauer escaped custody on my watch. I have to make this right. Now you either help me or you don't.
Okay.
Janice heads off down the corridor. Renee goes back into Tanner's room. She opens a cupboard door and uses it to wedge shut the main door. 11:49. Janice rounds a corner and spots Tanner's lawyers.
Excuse me, gentlemen. You're out of time, Mr. Tanner. Tell me what you know.
You do what you want to me. I'm not going to tell you a damn thing.
She pulls her gun and jabs it into his wounded abdomen.
Who do you work for?
Can't do this.
Where is Almeida? How do I find the CIP device? Tell me now.
She pulls away and holsters her gun as if she cannot bear to proceed with such violent methods. She turns back towards him. As he laughs, her face sets and she walks to the life support machine at his bedside and grasps the oxygen tubes.
You can't do this. You're FBI. This is illegal. Our rights.
I suggest you use your last breath wisely.
She has a tear in her eye, but she nevertheless folds the tubes together. He grasps for them, but in vain, and swiftly begins to choke for breath. 11:51, end of part 5. Janice leads the lawyers through the hospital.
I assure you, I'm taking this very seriously.
Then tell us where our client is.
As I said, he was moved for security reasons.
Into the annex?
Yes, sir.
Then why isn't he there?
Listen, if I can just get on the phone, I'll call my office. We'll get to the bottom of this.
We've had enough of your help, Agent Gold.
I'm genuinely confused, too.
Excuse me. We're trying to find our client, Mr. Alan Tanner.
Just a minute.
Got a ventilator malfunction.
Damn it, it's coding. Get a team and a crash cart over here, staff.
Room 421, Tanner.
The nurse pushes Tanner's door.
I got it blocked or something.
We have to get in there.
I'm trying to.
Hello, open this door.
This is an emergency.
We can't get the door open, it's jammed.
Is somebody in there with him?
Renee emerges.
It's all yours, guys.
Wait a minute. We need to talk to you.
If you don't want to know, Janice, don't ask. Have Agent Alice drive you back to the office.
Renee emerges alone from the hospital, making a call.
Let me speak to Larry.
Sir, I've got Walker on the line. Did you get anything?
I may have a lead on Almeida. Apparently, there's a plot in place against the former Prime Minister of Sangala.
Matobo?
Tanner says Almeida's crew has a plan to abduct him.
When?
Pretty much now. Listen, Larry, if Almeida's still a part of this and we can get the perform, we can set a trap.
All right. I'll alert the Prime Minister's security detail and scramble attack team. Tell us how it's in a State Department residence. 167 Fox Hall Road.
I'm on my way.
Renee, do not go in alone. Wait for backup.
Right.
Renee climbs into her vehicle. Larry makes a call. 11:57. An African man stands in a large plush office.
Yes.
Is this Major Eto'o?
It is.
This is Special Agent Larry Moss, FBI. This is not a drill. Code Alpha, Alpha, Delta. Lock the Prime Minister down.
I repeat, lock him down.
Yes, sir. Protégez le ministre. Monsieur. Prenez vos postes. Avancez rapidement. Vite. Monsieur, venez. Nous devons vous amener dans notre voiture.
Qu'est-ce qui se passe?
Nous sommes attaqués.
Non, c'est pas vrai.
Avancez. Avancez.
Poulet, qu'est-ce que c'est?
Ah, je ne comprends rien. Et toi, qu'est-ce qui se passe, et toi?
Rapidement, rapidement. Vite.
Pourquoi tous? Vite, vite.
Matobo is hurried away. Litvak cuts a wire and radios out.
We're clear. Go.
Emerson, Almeida, and Jack storm the building.
Where's Matobo?
Oh, no.
Where is he?
Avancez,
where is he?
Par ici, par ici.
I got him.
On Jack's lead, they pile after the fleeing Matobo. Major Itoho manages to escort the president and his wife to the panic room. The doors slide shut and the Matobo locks it down. Jack moves slowly along the corridor. He finds Itoho.
Put the gun down! On your knees!
Where is Matobo?
You'll not be able to get to him now.
Emerson looks up at the hermetically sealed metal door. He checks it. Jack opens a door into a passage to one side of the panic room. 11:59. He tries out the wall. Grabbing a golf club lying against the wall, he smashes through the plaster. He rips through the plasterboards with his gloved hands. Renee Walker drives at speed. Inside the panic room, Motobo presses buttons on the video link. A screen marked Hallway 1 is snowy with interference.
What is happening, Ule? Who is doing this to us?
Stay calm. It's going to be all right.
He picks up the phone and listens.
It's dead.
What you got?
It's a safe room, reinforced concrete.
What the hell didn't we know about this?
You have 3 seconds to open the door. One.
I can't.
Two.
It can't be unlocked from the outside. It can only be opened from the inside.
Emerson smacks Itoho out of the way. Mrs. Motobo looks fearfully at her husband.
Jack, we leave here without Motobo. We lose our only chance of getting into Baku.
...12 p.m., the end.